Oh, by the way, Jeremy Stomberg was just in here, so everyone has to drink.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Hello, I am still here.
And we're recording live from Convergence 2015.
We paid them to do that.
Yeah. And our returning amazing guest with us today recording is Rebecca Watson.
Hello.
We should point out Jennifer Ouellette's still in the room. Yes.
Jennifer Ouellette is still in the room.
Still here, ready
still
to bring
here.
You down.
Yeah, ready to bring us
with
down.
A little grumpy cloud over her
That's
head.
Right. That's right. Just rain cloud, personal rain cloud. All right. So, recording in front of a live audience, super fun as always. And we're going to talk about a few things with Rebecca, like relocating as a geek.
Yeah.
You had a move recently, a pickup and transport.
That's another way to say move.
That's a moving in. Yeah.
You moved from where to where? I moved from Buffalo, New York to the opposite of Buffalo, New York, which is San Francisco, California.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the opposite in pretty much every way. Yeah. Weather. Right.
So Buffalo has no hills.
No, no hills and no culture and oh, I kid. I'm not kidding.
Did you always live in Buffalo?
No, I lived in London prior to that, and then I thought to myself one day, London sucks. Let's go to Buffalo, New York.
I like wings.
That's,
yeah,
we all make mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a vegetarian. Where else would I go? But the home of buffalo wings and snow.
That's obviously, they named it Buffalo because they respect animals enough where they wouldn't eat them or something. Like it's
exactly. Totally. Well, they respect buffalo. Them enough to use every part of the buffalo.
Oh, okay. Which is
like so Buffalo wings. Kind of put London in perspective then.
Yeah, yeah. Everything was horrible in Buffalo, but no, not everything. One of the things Buffalo has going for it is that no one wants to live there, so it's incredibly inexpensive. So I had a four... Was it four or five bedrooms? I don't even know. The cats had a bedroom. I had a bedroom. I had an office. My partner had an office. We had a backyard with a hot tub in it and off-street parking and washer dryer. And it cost like nothing.
Sounds great. Why did you leave?
Well, because it was Buffalo, New York.
Did you hear about that snowstorm in Buffalo last year, Molly? Did you?
I live in Minnesota.
One?
I don't care.
No.
Like, oh no, snow.
Well, here's what happened.
It was 200 feet of snow or something like that.
It was the wall?
We had decided, my partner had quit his job. That's why we were in Buffalo. And so at the time, suddenly we're both working from home and we realized we can go anywhere so long as we can maybe afford it. So we decided, well, we'll work our asses off to try to make as much money as we can, and then we'll get out before the first flake of snow falls.
Sure.
So, and to sort of play it safe, although in Buffalo, not really, we decided that would be October 1st. And so I'm really pleased to say that we did it, skin of our teeth, October, it was actually October 10th. We flew with our cats to San Francisco, leaving Buffalo behind. And then a few weeks later, Buffalo was slammed. In one weekend, I think they got like 15 feet of
snow.
Yeah,
it was insane.
It was only slight hyperbole when I said 200
feet. If it was water, there'd be no Buffalo anymore. Right. But it was dry water, so it was fine.
Yeah, it was intense. And we just watched the news and cackled. Yeah. I mean, you know, there was that brief moment of our friends, and then, ha, 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 ha.
Just, like, open all the windows, like, right. Flip-flops and underwear.
Yeah,
and, like,
we just fucked off to the beach. Yeah. It was great.
Just put it on the radio and laugh all the way. That sounds,
It was awesome.
Obviously you said you have friends and stuff there, and you made some social connections. How, in the past, what is that, like, 8 months or so, have you had any trouble gaining new connections and finding a new social
Well, yeah, I mean, we had our geek connections in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. We were there because my partner worked for Center for Inquiry, which is a science, communication, nonprofit, critical thinking, secular, they do everything. And so we had our CFI friends there. But one of the reasons why we chose San Francisco is because we had several friends who had at some point migrated there as well. So it was actually great because in October, the month we moved, I was able to perform my show Quizotron, which Molly
it's
has
a great
been
show.
On. Thank you. which is, if you're not familiar, it's a science comedy panel quiz show that I host with. Oh, and Jennifer has been on it as well. I don't want to ignore the silent grump
face just
over there.
Was she just on it?
She was. She's been on it twice. Yeah, she was in
lost
in
both
LA.
Times.
You had an all-star cast this last time.
Yeah,
she lost in yeah. We did. It was great. She lost in L.A. though when her husband was the judge, which is.
Boy, does that sound familiar?
I'm one of the judges of a local trivia competition that Molly has not always won.
So yeah, I got to perform that at the Bay Area Science Festival, which is an amazing event if you ever get the chance to go out there for it. And we ended up befriending the guy who runs Bay Area Science Festival, and yeah, and just like tons of awesome geeks are out there. Adam Savage is out there, yeah. I finally got to see his lair, which is amazing. The cave.
I wish I could remember the video series that has. Done the videos with him several times where they've gone and looked at his movie prop replica collection and his
maybe Tested has done that. Yeah, we've also befriended the Tested guys because they're there.
Jealous.
So you should be.
Do you feel like so? I mean, honestly,
name drop. Boom.
Like Rebecca. I mean, you're kind of famous is the thing. So like, do you feel like because you're kind of famous, you're able to make better friends in the community because so many people in the community are kind of famous and you're. I mean, if you were,
I want to know what these tears are. Kind of famous.
Well, you know what I mean.
No, it is. It's a tricky thing when you're.
It's, yeah.
Like I have this weird sort of internet fame slash infamy. And
it's. But the idea that it's not. I'm saying kind of because I don't want it to be like, oh, Rebecca, you're famous and therefore you're kind of a jerk. You're just going around like I'm famous. It's not that. I mean, she's a real person too. But I mean, if you were just one of us in the
A real kind of famous person.
Yeah. But if you were just one of us, you know, plebes here like. Or you know Nick or Tim especially if you were and we moved
Molly,
out
just, I said I'd eat one of the goddamn grapefruits
yeah Jesus we prefer Christ. To be called fucking casuals thank you
so if you're a casual and you're out in SF and you're trying to like get into a new community what would your advice be in that way because I mean
there's so much going on the Bay Area Science Festival is one great thing but that's just once a year they're also nerd nights, which happen so often that they've split up into several groups. There's like Nerd Night San Francisco and Nerd Night East Bay in Oakland. And those are, they're kind of like, I used to run Boston Skeptics in the Pub way back in the day. And the idea is you have a smart lecturer come out to a pub and give an interesting talk. And then everybody hangs out and drinks and argues with each
Boston
other.
Boston Skeptics in the Pub. Did you run that in London or in Buffalo?
Both, actually.
Okay, sure. All right.
And it's a similar thing. Nerd nights are a similar thing.
So just go out and do stuff, basically.
And, they have people give entertaining lectures, and, you know, you just go out and hang out, and you meet the greatest people. there's that. There are conferences. I just went to... I've been to BayCon, which nothing to do with bacon, oddly enough. but it's I showed up and I was like, "Where? I don't." And they're like, "No, it's because this is the Bay." And I was like, "Oh,
robot BayCon."
I see. But it's a lot like this, you know. It's a lot of panels and nerdery. So that was fun. And also, I just went to Skeptical. There's a lot of puns, a lot of good pun conferences there. But Skeptical in Oakland was a great one-day conference for skeptics, and you know, which obviously includes a lot of secular people. There's just a huge, there's the Bay Area skeptics, there's the Bay Area atheists, there's you know, it's stuff is happening out
it's
there.
I organized and active, which
yeah.
is great.
I was saying before we started, my brother lives in San Francisco, so I go to San Francisco an average of once a year, sometimes even more than that. I love San Francisco. If I didn't like where I lived and have ever, you know, because I'm too old to move at this point.
You're never too old, Tim.
He's so old.
I really am.
What are you, like 90?
Yes. Yeah, I'm similar to 90.
Okay.
On a geographic scale, I'm this close to 90 on
right,
a geographic scale. So, but anyway, if I was to move from Minnesota, I would move to San Francisco in a heartbeat. It's great. It's got an amazing cultural scene. You know, if you're into symphony and opera and everything like that, it's got that.
Or hip hop shorts.
Hip hop. Apparently, it has yeah, that
Rainbow
too.
Rainbow flags.
Yeah, it's got the Exploratorium.
It's really great if you're into pot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got the Exploratorium, which is
hold on.
One
really
of the
tough to be
signs.
Here, by the way.
Really tough. We'll talk later.
Let's talk now. Tim, take it. Yeah.
Five questions. Let's go. All right.
BRB.
Molly and I have talked about the possibility of moving and where we'd consider, like, if we were going to move around.
Because we're not having kids, so we can pretty much go wherever we want.
Right, so you have money.
Yeah. We have money and no
freedom.
Ties.
Right.
Yeah.
If you guys move to San Francisco, I have to move so we can keep doing this podcast.
Well, and our dog died, so now we just have cats, and cats are portable. It's all right.
Yeah. Don't get started on death again.
Yeah, right.
We're doomed.
Could you describe your dog's death in detail, please?
We already did that podcast.
Yeah, we really did. You can listen to that one. Yeah. I cried.
We've considered Seattle just because the tech industry is really solid there. I'm in telecommunications
we've
and networking.
We've considered Seattle. Yeah,
but like the compromise there would be I thrive in like a overcast environment and rain is awesome and Molly is solar powered like a lizard.
So, I literally bask on heat rocks.
Yeah, it's.
I'm not kidding. I lay on the cement and let it like soak into my body.
So actually, San Francisco would be perfect for you because there are microclimates, and so in the city, if you are on one side of Divisadero, you're always in the fog. And
what's
if you're
the
on the other side, what's that?
What's the Divisadero?
It's a street. It's a street that divides.
I would have
the
assumed
city.
A river.
Oh.
Take that, assumptions.
So I'm in the East Bay, which is the best because it's sunny and 72 every day, and we can look across the bay and we see our friends just shrouded in fog.
Aww.
So
we
yeah.
can have two houses.
Yeah, two houses, or like one right on the border. Yeah. You know,
Molly, I think we need to get back to the cost of living in San Francisco. And no, you cannot have two houses.
No.
Yeah.
In fact, most people in San Francisco barely have one.
That is the issue. So we went from like that 4-5 bedroom apartment. Now we're in a 1 bedroom apartment. We're very lucky because, again, we both work from home, so we don't have to worry about commuting, so we can live like outside of the city a bit. And but every penny goes to rent.
I've heard it's very expensive. Yeah. A friend of ours moved out there around the same time you did, actually, and she is also saying that it is insane the amounts of money that are going to rent. And even if you have the money to afford a rental, finding one is also crazy because there's a shortage.
Scarcity.
Yeah. I found mine sight unseen because one of my talents is internet research.
Yeah.
So, you know, we weren't sure. We had never even visited the neighborhood we live in.
Oh, wow.
And so we weren't really sure what we were going to show up to. And then we showed up to a goddamn paradise and it's like beautiful.
Nice.
So
Very
it worked
nice.
Out. But yeah, this, you know, we're filming, recording this on July 4th. And so, you know, rent was due. And so I was like in the hotel room, like moving money around and checking my Patreon, like, did it deposit? Like, that didn't used to happen in Buffalo.
Speaking of which, so you're working from home and you're using Patreon, you're doing bi-weekly YouTube videos for your own like personal channel series.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that. Like, what are you talking about regularly? What are you, some of the subjects you're...
Yeah, it's awesome. I've been on YouTube for a really long time, but there was a period where I gave it up because there's only so many times you can be called a cunt by anonymous people on the internet before you're like, why? Why do I bother?
Challenge accepted.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you added that bit at the end, because I was like, I'm pretty sure there are not. There's an infinite number of times you can be called cunt by an anonymous person on the internet.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's an Einstein thing, right? Yeah. That's one of the... there are only a few things that are limitless.
Maybe they mean it like Charlotte's Web, like some cunt. Like,
wow.
Wow.
Crunchy.
What a cunt.
Well, it's maybe my reputation precedes me. But
the internet
it is
a machine built for tearing people down and calling them cunts. I think that's
so what YouTube is.
That's the like, you know how like combustion engines give off heat as like a byproduct energy to their processes? Mm-hmm. That's the like byproduct energy of the internet doing its thing, is just like
racism and homophobia, this
cunt fog that comes out of the back.
Yeah, that pretty much describes it.
Cunt fog is my golden earring cover band. Sorry, go on.
So yeah.
Jennifer, this is how you do it.
No,
I'm so ashamed.
I really think she did it better, because hers was really respectable. And I didn't say cunt fog once.
So that's when my mother died.
Suffocated in the cunt fog.
Okay, anyway, back to the YouTube videos.
YouTube.
I did just have somebody there. Okay. Well, there is, you know, I've been wanting to talk about this, and I don't know if I want to joke about this on stage because it's the only way I can get it out. But I recently found out that a guy that I used to date is dead. And it's the first person I feel like I've ever had sex with that is dead.
Weird.
And it's really weird. Like, we hadn't talked in years, you know. I just found out through a friend of a friend. I was like, wait, what happened to him? Oh, he's dead. And it's just weird. And obviously, I shouldn't joke about it on stage because it's made everything very awkward. But it's one of those things that's simultaneously like awful, because a person has died and that's horrible. And, you know, I didn't hate him or anything. Like, we broke up. It wasn't a big deal. But it's also just one of those weird things to think
of.
Like,
get older.
Yeah, that's a thing that's going to happen more and more often.
I honestly thought you were going to say this. I found out this guy I used to date was calling me a cunt on YouTube.
Oh, no, that has like,
fine. Whoa.
That happens like literally every day. I saw it, Chris. You can stop.
How has Patreon been working out for you?
So, So that's where I was going. Not with the death stuff, but that's what brought me back to YouTube. So Patreon came out. If you're not aware, it's a website where people can become patrons of the arts. What you want to call what I do is art. It's not. But, you know, you can support content creators, to use the marketing-friendly, awful word, by just pledging to give them like a dollar every time they do something, like post a blog post or make a video, in my case. And you get certain fun rewards depending on how much you give per video. So for mine, you know, my patrons get extra like diary-type vlog videos and monthly hangouts and things like that. And so suddenly, the money is fantastic, first of all, because when you get enough people, you know, pledging a dollar, it's like, oh, all of a sudden, I can pay rent, you know, and that's great.
It's always a plus.
Right. Yes. But also, it's the idea that now it doesn't matter how many people on YouTube call me a cunt. Because at the end of the day, it's like, that used to be kind of a downer, where it seems like that's all that is happening. Like, oh, I'm getting a lot of views, but it's just all of this hatred. And
just negative.
You know, yeah. But now it's like, no matter what is happening there, I know that there's this awesome group of people who are supporting me and who like what I do enough, not just to leave a comment on a video, but to like actively support me, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm back to doing the things that I've always sort of talked about on YouTube, which are, atheism, secularism.
Gasp.
Also science news and, you know, skeptical sort of pseudoscience stuff. And the occasional feminism stuff, just rile people up. No.
Wait, that's... Rebecca Watson is a feminist?
What? Yeah. Usually I only discuss those things when they intersect in some way, but it still drives some people nuts.
Yeah, it's the people. There'll always be irrational assholes on there, and you know, doubly so on the internet.
It's really okay to share your opinion on the internet until somebody doesn't agree with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Heaven forbid. Well, I think on that we're going to go to five questions.
Five questions.
Five our
questions.
Brand new five questions.
Brand
by
new
the way.
Five questions.
Super exciting.
I hope one of them is one of the ones I gave you last year, which was if you could eat any Muppet, which Muppet would you eat and why?
It's
we
not.
We forgot.
Damn it. Damn it.
We forgot about that.
No, I. Well, how could you? I mean, Sweetums.
Tim, Muppets
sweet is in the
win.
Name.
I, yeah. Muppets right. always win at Convergence.
Muppets I know always they win. Do. Muppets always win.
Tim, do you want to start us off with the new?
Yeah, sure. What is? Oh, I remember. what movie that you can just stop and watch anytime it's on?
Okay. Well, first of all, I object to the question. The problem with the question is it assumes that. I watch television and things come on it, like, just randomly.
Sure, sure.
She's one of them YouTubers that watches it all on demand.
Right, yeah I am. So, to answer the question, though, like, I do watch TV and randomly watch what comes on when I'm at my parents' house.
Oh sure.
Because they have the full cable package. And that's always at Christmas time. I'm going to have to go with the number one greatest Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Damn right. Because if you had said A Christmas Story, the podcast would have been over and that would have been
And Nick
the
would
end
now
of it.
Be a misogynist. I almost That's said right. a misandrist.
That too. You know what? It would have been so upsetting that I would have hated them all. Everyone. That's right.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
The only people spared by the hatred are if you're non-binary. And that's everyone else. Yeah, get the hell out.
Right, some goats.
Some goats. Some that's goats. Right.
All goats.
I agree it's a Christmas movie. I
it
just
is. It absolutely
Because I don't want Nick to hurt me. But also because it's true.
There are other reasons. But yes, that's question number two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
Okay. Well... both of those things is the same thing, which would probably have to be my Necronomicon signed by Bruce Campbell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Yes, we can applaud that.
Yeah, he signed it, Dear Rebecca, burn this book, Bruce Campbell. And when he signed it, I asked him if he could give me some sugar, and he said no. So I was rejected.
Is it like a movie prop replica?
Yeah,
homemade,
it was. It was an early edition of Evil Dead that came in this rubbery Necronomicon. Yeah. It's like a three-dimensional,
gross human flesh looking.
Yeah, it's awesome. Really, it's really cool. Yeah.
All right, question number three: which supernatural slash magical or all-powerful being or god do you wish was real, whether fictional or from like you know? Mythology that we know of. Know what I mean?
We were like, going to say fictional or fictional historical.
Yeah, like right. Terry Pratchett stuff or, you know, the Bible. I mean, whatever. Like,
all right. I'm going to have to go with Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson?
Yeah.
From Coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
You wish he was real?
Yeah.
He's not real.
Coach is a fictional show, Molly.
So wait, so do you wish Coach was real or Craig T. Nelson?
No, Craig T. Nelson.
I'm not Xena, I'm Lucy Lawless.
Yeah, right. It's like a Hitchhiker's Guide. Like in a poof of logic, Craig T. Nelson disappeared. Like somewhere out there, he's just sitting at home, like reading the newspaper, and then he's gone. Like just you wished him out of it. You negated his existence.
Craig T. Nelson was the voice of Mr. Incredible, wasn't he?
Not anymore.
You just destroyed the Incredibles.
It is like what it is.
The only good
by
Fantastic
Tim Robbins.
Four movie no longer exists.
Well,
all right. Question number four. I'm angry, but
you knew what you were in for when you invited me back.
All right. All right. So let us assume we're assuming that religion is gone. If there's no religion in the world, what is now the biggest problem humanity faces?
I object to the question. Because it assumes that religion is currently the worst problem
it
that humanity
It does assume,
is.
So yeah. Just keep going.
Yeah.
So I would say that it's the same as it is now, Craig T. Nelson.
We just solved that one.
Is he real or not?
Right. No, I think I would say income inequality.
Mm. Okay.
Because I think that I think a lot of other terrible shit stems from that, including things
absolutely.
Like bigotry and global warming and, you know, the whole mess.
You could, and to play like super devil's advocate asshole
edition.
The super
devil.
The super devil, not that regular devil. you could say that, like, well, religion is a tool to use to get people to vote against their best interests, which further perpetuates income inequality.
Or tithing.
Therefore, like, the removing religion money. Might help ease that problem or put us on a path towards. But, you know,
but
that's pretty hopeful.
Time, I would super devil's advocate back.
Yes.
And
triple
I would
super
say.
Super devil's advocate.
Double plus devil's advocate.
Ooh, yes.
Double plus secret devil's advocate.
As much as religion could exacerbate income inequality much more exacerbates religion. Words. Oh. Words can come
no,
out.
I get that. I agree with that. Yeah. Agree with that.
It's the supernatural lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Question number five. What is your favorite quote?
My favorite quote is... a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes by Mark Twain.
That's great.
And wait, I'm not done. The reason why it's my favorite quote is because Mark Twain never said that.
That's.
But I constantly see it referenced. And it wasn't until I used to think the same. And but a couple years ago, I was putting that in a talk as a slide. And I was like, I should put the reference of where he said it. And so I started digging into it and I realized like he probably never said it at all. But even if he did, he wasn't the first by about 100 years. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Which just illustrates the point.
Yeah,
of the
exactly.
Quote, like that much further.
Amazing.
Yeah. You have to love the irony of that quote in particular being constantly a reference to the wrong person.
That's wonderful. I like that a lot.
Like when Captain Picard said, use the force.
Yes. It's very similar to that.
Excuse me. I believe that was CBPO.
Yeah.
Or when Abraham Lincoln said, quotes on the internet are frequently misattributed.
Yeah.
That's right. Wonderful. Well, this has been Rebecca Watson recording with us at Convergence 2015. Your YouTube channel and your Patreon link, do you want to, where can people find those?
The best way to find me is Patreon, patreon.com/Rebecca. You can find me on Twitter, Rebecca Watson, or you can find me at skeptchick.org.
Perfect. Wonderful.
Oh, my YouTube channel, I think it's RK Watson, I think. Yeah.
Just search for cunt. You'll find it. We've been Geeks Without God. Please leave us a rating on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and all the usual garbage. Otherwise, thank you for recording us here at Convergence. We'll see you next Tuesday.
And to all of our listeners in Buffalo, Rebecca Watson wants you to know there's hope.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hey, just so you guys know, if you sent in your 5 questions already and they haven't gotten on the show yet, they still will. We're still going to make our way through. But going forward, if you want to answer our 5 questions, answer our new 5 questions, which we'll be posting soon.